All right, here we go. Another week. Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you along with Ed Alexander. Ed, welcome back. Ed had a great time down in San Carlos, Mexico. Boy, the beach looked really pretty there in some of the pictures Ed was showing me. Ed and I welcome you to the Buckmaster Show on this Monday as we get ready to plow into the last week. Full week of the month of July 2015. We're coming to you from AM 1030 KVOI The Voice, and we also, of course, live stream the show, which means you don't need to be in front of a radio. If you're by a computer, it's buckmastershow.com or kvoi.com, and you can hear our program really anywhere in the world. We always begin our Monday afternoon with our Monday political face-off. Today we'll be following the face-off with Pima County Attorney Barbara LaWall. Our topic will be, is Arizona putting too many people behind bars? The live line number 790-2040 and the Facebook page is Bill Buckmaster. The Monday political face-off today features our team of commentators, John Munger, a well-known Tucson attorney and former president of the Arizona Board of Regents. I always was referring to John for many, many weeks as chair, but it's officially president of the Arizona Board of Regents. 2010 Republican candidate for Arizona governor as well, and also with us a very prominent attorney, Jeff Rogers. Jeff is the former head of the Democratic Party of Pima County. The Monday political face-off is presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985. Moe and his family do a great job with all of the custom frame mirrors. We have them in our home. They have wonderful art there, and of course, their specialty picture framing and hanging. They take care of all of that for you. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge at moesgallery.com and on Facebook. Jeff, how was your weekend?
Great weekend.
Welcome back to the show.
Nice to be here.
And John, how did it go? You were over in California for a brief time.
Huh? Saw all five kids and all seven grandkids, and it was
everybody's
just
healthy and happy.
Thank God. Yes.
John, Donald Trump, first he went after Senator John McCain, he's really going for the hat trick here. Then it was giving out Senator Lindsey Graham's phone number, and now he's going after Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker.
Yeah. Well, I need to disclose I'm a Scott Walker fan. Mm-hmm. Right now, I'm open to change, but right now Scott Walker's my guy. But Donald Trump is striking a chord, and I happen to think there's no question that John McCain is a war hero. You don't need to agree with John McCain's politics all the time. In fact, I don't, and a lot of people don't. But that's a different issue entirely from whether he's a war hero. He is a war hero. He was a war hero. He continues to be. And that doesn't mean you have to support John McCain. But it's not correct to say he's not a war hero. A lot of people will say, well, Trump corrected himself and all of that. But Trump is striking a chord with the public. There's no question about it. I'm very pleased that my guy, Scott Walker, is maintaining his percentages in the polls. He's going to do very well in Iowa. And so I'm excited about that. Remember at this point in the campaigns, and mm-hmm. Jeff will remember this. I mean, at one point we had President Rudy Giuliani. He was a sure winner. And then we had President Michelle Bachmann. She was the sure winner. And then we had President Herman Cain. He was the sure winner. we're 16 months out from the election. And so things come and go. We'll see how it all works out. It's a long-term race, and people will rise and fall. The key is the debates, I think, and we'll see how people do in the debates.
But, Jeff, it seems the Republicans have a 20 to 25% group of folks who, no matter what Trump says, they're on board.
They are, and I think that the reason he'll stick around and is going to be a little bit more more than a flavor of the month or flavor of the week like we saw last time around is that he's tapping into an anger that we saw emerge in the summer of 2009. Just a sort of anti-government, you know, I'm not a politician, I'm not from Washington, I'm not from the political crowd, there's a sense in which he's satisfying that outsider's resentment towards the anger people have about how government is run, whether by Democrats or Republicans. But I also think that part of the problem here is that the way he came out of the box and really basically, you know, insulted an entire country, Mexico, and an entire class of people, Latinos, and no one really. I mean, the Republican National Committee softly criticized him, but none of the other candidates really came after him until he attacked John McCain. And I agree with John here. I mean, I'm not sure that his actual flying skills were what made him a hero. What made him a hero was that he did not do what was necessary to get out of prison in South Vietnam or North Vietnam. He stuck it out with all the pain and all the broken bones. He suffered horribly.
I'll tell you what.
And he stood up for it. And he didn't do the things that other prisoners sometimes succumb to in order to get out early. And I thought that was heroic and more heroic than some of the heroic things that other combatants did. Now, to be sure, you know, the phenomenon that has become Donald Trump, I think, is ultimately going to hurt the
staying
Republican
power.
Party.
Staying Jefferson, power. Jefferson, he's
well,
got the staying
I,
power.
I think it's going to, because the rhetoric is really, really making, as you said, maybe a quarter of the Republicans happy. But on the other hand, it's really alienating a lot of independent voters who the Republicans would probably need to put them over the top.
Well, I don't know. You know, he did talk about the illegal alien crimes, and he didn't. I'll agree with you. He was not articulate in saying it. But what he was trying to say initially was that illegal aliens, not legal aliens, but illegal aliens, do have a higher crime rate. And I've actually done a study on that using the Government Accounting Office numbers. And it turns out that while illegal aliens, represent about 3.52% of the population, they commit about 33.4% of the murders in the country, meaning that legal aliens and regular citizens have a much lower crime rate than the illegals. 3.52% of are illegals of the country, and they're committing, they are incarcerated for 33.4% of the murders. So they have a much higher crime rate, sometimes something between 3 and 10 times what legal aliens and citizens have as a crime rate. So, you know, Trump was right about that. And I think that people understand that. Let me go back just very quickly to John.
Real quickly,
because
I want
McCain.
Jeff also to respond.
Because
to
John
this.
McCain, anybody that flies very dangerous flying machines over very dangerous country with people shooting at you is a hero. I don't care whether they get shot down or not.
And what he did that really impressed me the most was the fact that he survived that imprisonment, and he was tortured horribly. Yeah. And many people would have done other things. I mean, his father was an admiral. I mean, he could have done many things to get himself out, but he really stood his ground.
Well, he was offered a free get out of jail free card because his father was chief of naval operations.
He turned that down because there were other people ahead of him. And those are the things that I think make him really heroic.
But I'm still not a John McCain fan.
Okay.
So.
Jeff, I want you to respond to these figures that John has produced, and you were able to look over them briefly before airtime. Basically, from what I'm hearing John say, that one out of three murders in this country are being committed by illegal immigrants,
are 3.52%.
Well, what John did
was
he brought in an article from something called the American Thinker, which I've never heard of, but in reading it, I can see where where it comes from. But the fact is that the Washington Post checked those figures, and they checked them against all kinds of other figures, and they said that Trump was absolutely wrong, and they even gave it their four Pinocchios for a complete lie.
Yeah, but,
so now we have something coming from a right wing group that is basically saying otherwise. been saying it's fact-checking the fact-checkers. Well, the Pew Charitable Trust has an arm that does studies like this, and it's been a while, and I didn't realize we were going to talk about this, right? I brought it with me, but there have been studies that show that actually, when you look at the overall total crime rate, the people here who are not here legally are less likely to commit a crime than an American citizen.
Well, all I can tell you, Jeff, is these are...
And they looked at all crimes.
These are general accounting office numbers.
Statistics and damn lies, John.
From the FBI, these are statistics. If you have something you'd like to show me, I'd be delighted to look at it.
I'll try to send you an email to some real figures from something that is not a right-wing blog, John.
But this is not a right-wing blog. This is a center-right blog, and it's citing, most importantly, the General Accounting Office numbers that they derive from the FBI and from the state criminal authorities. So those numbers... are numbers, hard numbers from the government.
All right. This is a good time to take our break. It's exactly 12:15. Jeff Rogers and John Munger will be back at it on our Monday Political Face-Off right after this.
Do you have flood or fire damage to your home?
Floods and fires can attract termites to the home and destroy pest prevention measures. Five Star Termite and Pest Control has a comprehensive treatment plan to protect your refurbished home. Five Star treats the building materials of the home not once, but twice. You can have Five Star's most thorough treatment protecting your home, and your homeowner's insurance covers it.
So before your restoration begins, call Five Star Termite and Pest Control, 886-0045.
We're Five Star Pest Control. We know what bugs you.
Attending Pima Community College means success for you and your family at less than a quarter the cost of trade schools or four-year universities. Partnering with business leaders, Pima creates programs tailored to help you succeed in today's high-demand jobs and offers two-year associate degrees that transfer to universities nationwide. Whether your goal is a new career or transferring to a four-year college, Pima Community College can help you succeed. Call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
Hello?
Hey, honey. Just packing and getting ready for my flight home.
Great! You didn't forget about Adam's soccer game, did you?
Hey, it's his last game of the season. I wouldn't miss it for the world.
But you land at 4. How can you be there by 5?
No problem. I'm flying into Tucson. I parked right by the terminal, and the soccer field is only 10 minutes from the airport.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
The Regional Transportation Authority is delivering its promises, completing 149 out of 200 intersection improvements, 48 of 80 pedestrian safety crossings, 108 of 200 bus pullouts, and 226 miles of 500 promised bike lanes. Since the 2006 voter approval of the RTA plan, some 650 projects are completed. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. Learn more at rtamobility.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine in a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident, and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show at 12:19. It's the Monday Political Face-Off. We have Jeff Rogers and John Munger with me in studio. This Face-Off brought to you by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com. Before we get back to politics, we have Barbara LaWall, Pima County Attorney, coming up here in about 12 minutes or so. And since I have two very prominent attorneys with me, Jeff, Arizona locks up more residents per capita than any other Western state. A problem?
It is a problem. It's a problem nationwide, both in the federal system and in the state systems. This is one of the few problems in America that conservatives, liberals, Republicans, Democrats seem to pretty much agree on. There are some interesting coalitions being built around the country and in various states where it crosses party lines completely. We're wasting too much money incarcerating people who could be supervised on the outside, who are nonviolent. We're keeping in prison for too long a period of time. We're one of the few states left that is still imposing that you're in prison 85% of your sentence, and the rest of the time you're on community supervision. It's inefficient. It's incarcerating huge classes of people that really don't belong in prison, and society could be better served at a cheaper cost if we were supervising them or rehabilitating them on the outside. I think we're one of the last states to figure this out, and I'm hoping that we can cross party lines and do something here, as is being done in the Congress. And this is actually interesting. The Koch brothers, the enemy of the Democratic Party, is actually funding some of this these studies, and they're very interested in crossing party lines to help out on that.
John Munger.
Yeah, I think that may be the issue. I don't purport to be an expert on it, and I'm going to say the next thing in jest for your listeners.
Okay.
We ought to bring back the stocks. You know, I mean, a lot of these.
Oh, the public stocks?
The public stocks. You know, I mean, my point is, there's something to be said for an immediate embarrassment before the community. I'm joking about the stocks, but somebody does something that's stupid, nonviolent, punish them in some efficient way, maybe put them on probation, make them wear an ankle bracelet, whatever. But going the cost, you know, it costs more to imprison a prisoner these days than it does to cost to send a student to Harvard.
Wow.
That's right.
And people don't realize how expensive it is. Every prisoner costs more than sending a student to Harvard for a year. For a year. Not 4 years. A year.
Wow. Matt has been waiting patiently on the live line at 790-2040. Hi, Matt.
Hey, how's it going? Hope everybody had a good weekend.
Thank you, sir.
What I wanted to pose Mr. Munger, is the issue of the sanctuary cities. The sanctuary cities, if Kate's law passed and Matt Salmon's pushing for, and then the sanctuary cities, all sanctuary cities do is allow the immigrant community the ability to reach out to law enforcement without fear of being referred to Border Patrol and all the rest of it. That is the essence of sanctuary. It's not sanctuary away from the police. They are your number one eyes, ears, and defense to a community to allow them to say, hey, something happened. We want to call the police. We want to get help. And if you kill that, you are basically going to ensure that law enforcement no longer has a way to communicate with a sizable part of the population they serve.
Well, Matt, I understand your position. Let me tell you. Number one, with regard to sanctuary cities, what happened in San Francisco is that the sheriff in San Francisco released a person and didn't bother to call the federal authorities to give them an opportunity to reincarcerate that person. That is sanctuary cities gone haywire. I'm not going to try to dictate that what cities tell their police to do, their city police to do. But if they've got a prisoner incarcerated who is a criminal alien, they should call the feds before they release them. And that's what we're talking about. Now, with regard to Kate's Law, Kate's Law simply says, look, if you are a criminal alien and you have been deported, it's an automatic 5 years if you come back in. And I think that's right. Why the heck should we keep having to apprehend and deport these people? In the case of the San Francisco killer, the guy had been deported 5 times. He had 7 felony convictions, not charges, convictions. He'd been deported 5 times, and he's still on the streets. That guy should have been in prison. He should have been in prison the first time he was reapprehended, and he should have been in prison for 5 years. Period.
Okay. John Munger, and now Jeff Rogers.
Well, Matt brings up a good point, is that the International Association of Police Chiefs shares the same position as Matt does, and that was that they didn't want to create a problem like Senate Bill 1070 did, where it alienated an entire community of people who suddenly said, well, I'm not going to report the fact that my husband beat me because I'll be deported, and he'll be deported. And I'm not going to come forward to report the crime next door that I witnessed, maybe a murder, maybe whatever, because I'm in fear of deportation. And I think John would probably agree, we don't want to alienate people as witnesses. But somebody who has committed multiple felonies and had a huge number of reentries, what did you say, 7 of them?
I mean, he's had 5 reentries, 7 felonies.
I mean, at some point in time, you know, there's, and we do increase the penalty for each reentry nowadays.
But we don't incarcerate him.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do.
Wasn't incarcerated.
That's part of what Operation Streamline does down here
in Tucson. So Obama has released 36,000 felons.
We are a lot more sophisticated here about how we handle such things as what happened in San Francisco. I don't think that would have happened either in Tucson or anywhere in Arizona, because we have a different kind of system. We're familiar with this. We're not way up in San Francisco. This is our border, and we have a fairly good control of it, and this kind of stuff would not happen. What would happen and what should have happened there, what would happen here, is that Clarence Dupnik's or now Chris Nanos jail would have contacted the feds and said, look, you know, we can't hold this guy. He hasn't committed a state crime. He hasn't committed a crime that we can hold him for. You got to pick him up. Here's his rap sheet.
That's what should happen. And we do walk those fine lines. But what's happened with sanctuary cities is some of the cities, and San Francisco is the classic example, have gotten so carried away with political correctness that they don't even call the feds. And that is just wrong. I will tell you, we are not incarcerating these people. The President Obama has released 36,000 felons.
That's just not true. I watch people go to prison all day long.
You may watch them going,
at the federal courthouse here in Tucson.
He's released
people who cross the border and get caught and it's happened. They're going to prison for even the first time crossers are getting 3 to 6 months in prison, federal prison. They're first time crossers. They'll go through Operation Streamline at that federal courthouse. And second and third time crossers are going to prison for 3, 5, and 10 years.
Anecdotally,
it's not
Jeff.
Anecdotally, I'm telling you, this is go down to the courthouse, John.
That's anecdotal,
Jeff. Just sit down there.
And what I'm telling you is the numbers show that Obama has released 36,000 felons back onto the illegal felons back onto the streets through his programs.
They're being as tough as can be, right?
We are being as
not when you're releasing.
In addition to that, in 5 to 6 years, Obama has deported way more people than George W. Bush did.
Because you've redefined a deportation. You've redefined away the problem. You're not using the same definition of deportation that's ever been used by any president before.
I think deportation is when you convict them and show them their way out of the country.
No, you've defined deportation to include people who never got in the first place, and you're counting that as a deportation. That's never been counted as a deportation previously. But I will tell you this. The proof of the pudding is that this guy was deported 5 times, and he's still in the country running around free. And I'm sorry, you may see some felons, some illegal aliens being put away, but this guy and several other illegals have been out on the streets killing people. They've killed a couple now in San Francisco. They've killed a couple in L.A. They just killed another one in Virginia. And it's happening, and they're out on the streets. So you may see some being put away, Jeff, but too many of them are out there.
I can tell you that right now we're spending more on the border than we ever have before. It's more secure than it ever has before. More people are getting convicted of entering this country illegally, and more people are getting deported than ever in the history of the United States.
I've just given you the numbers.
And many liberal people have been critical of Obama, in fact, for the fact that he has become, some people call him the deportation president.
I've given you the numbers, and I haven't heard any numbers coming back. I've heard your experience down in the courthouse, but I can tell you, your experience in the courthouse doesn't cover the killers who've been out in the streets killing people, who've been here five times illegally and are still out on the streets.
That's a huge exaggeration of the number of people who are killing
people. Those are real situations that prove that the problem is not being solved.
All right. Do we have time, Ed, for Jim? Jim wants to talk about sanctuary cities. Jim, very quickly, please.
Very quick comment. I believe it was Jeff who was saying that illegal people who are illegally will not call the police if there's a crime. It's just simply not true. In most cities, including here in Tucson, you can call in any crime and report it anonymously.
Okay.
Well, that's true. You can do it anonymously, but sometimes anonymously doesn't work for a police officer who needs a witness. That's the problem, is that you're discouraging people from being witnesses. And if you've got to do your civic duty and be a witness and pay the price of being deported for doing your civic duty, people are not likely going to be a witness.
All right. All you need to do to solve that problem is say if you're going to testify as a witness, that cannot be used against you to deport you. That's all in the world you have to do.
Okay. John Munger, Jeff Rogers, thank you very much for being with us on The Face-Off. Thanks, gentlemen.
You're welcome.
Two prominent attorneys with us on The Face-Off, and we have another prominent attorney, Barbara LaWall, will be joining us at 12 in about 2 or 3 minutes. But first, I want to tell you the Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com and on Facebook. I strongly recommend any framing needs you need to be look after, Moe and his fine family will take care of it. We'll be right back.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Viro Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Viro Amori's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Viro Amori is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Hi, wouldn't you like a voice like mine talking about your business? Saying things like, thank you for calling, or press 1 for hours and directions. Well, it can. Cox Business offers Voice Manager, allowing you to get a professional voice to record your voicemail greeting. And with my voice, you'll need to warn whoever manages your lead gen data because your customer base is about to expand. If you don't like my voice...
There's always mine.
Thank you for calling. All our customers are important to us. How do you like that?
I think mine might be more appropriate.
You don't know that.
I can do fancy accents.
As good as this.
Make a great impression before you answer the phone. Cox Business Internet and Voice Manager is only $99 per month. Plus, get your first month free. Bundle and save today. Visit coxbusiness.com. Ends 8/30/15. Includes Cox Business Internet 10 and Voice Manager Essential. Excludes taxes and fees. Visit coxbusiness.com for details. Actual speeds vary. Other restrictions apply.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Join us Tuesday as we talk with the Sahuarita School Superintendent about his district's override election, plus the Every Other Tuesday Arts Report presented by Fox Tucson Theater. Buckmaster, noon to 1 on Tucson's AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice, and anywhere in the world, live streaming podcasts and our show archive. It's on my website. That's buckmastershow.com. All righty then, back with you on the Buckmaster Show at 12:35. Let's go right now to the Buckmaster Show live line. Pima County Attorney Barbara LaWall. Ms. LaWall, how are you today?
I'm doing very well, thank you.
Yeah, you were listening for a portion there of a very spirited discussion with...
I wish I had tuned in earlier.
Yeah, it was all about the legal implications of sanctuary cities. Do you have any thoughts on sanctuary cities, Barbara LaWall?
Well, I think that what we're doing here in Pima County is the right thing. Our law enforcement agencies call Border Patrol when they have arrests of criminal aliens, and Border Patrol puts a deportation ICE hold on them, and if they haven't committed a state crime, then they are taken over to Border Patrol, and Border Patrol deals with them. So we don't give sanctuary to criminal aliens in the same way that other cities do.
Yeah, we were talking about that horrible incident up in San Francisco.
It's horrifying and very distressing, and I'm frankly appalled. I'm just totally appalled and disgusted by what happened there. That hopefully would never have happened in Pima County. Never. That individual would not have been back out on the streets.
Barbara LaWall is with us, 790-2040. If you would like to join in the conversation, I want to begin our conversation with Ms. LaWall about Arizona locking up more residents per capita than any other Western state, and in fact, trailing only 5 Southern states for people imprisoned nationally. Are we locking up too many people, Barbara LaWall?
Well, you know, on the surface, this is a controversy that rears its head all the time. There are a number of myths out there. And one of the myths is that we are not only locking up too many people, but that we are locking up the wrong people. And I want to let you know that the vast majority of prison inmates at the Department of Corrections in Arizona are violent or repeat criminals or violent and repeat criminals. 95% of the prison inmates meet that criteria. So I don't know how you can say that we are locking up too many people when we're locking up the violent and the repetitive offenders.
In 2013, Barbara LaWall, 35 states passed laws to change their sentencing laws and to kind of look at alternatives to prison and help keep convicts from reoffending. Are we doing enough in that regard?
You know, I Probably not. And I think that one of the things that we always need to do is to constantly keep looking at our laws and looking at whether or not there are things that we can do that are, will improve what we're doing, that will work better, that will be more effective. I know one of the changes that has occurred in my office that has had incredibly successful impact is a program where we take individuals who by law would be going to prison because they are repetitive offenders, but they are drug-addicted repetitive offenders, and we put them in residential treatment. We also give them significant wraparound services, so they get job training, they get skill training, education. We have the ability to help them get dental work, eyeglasses, a wide variety of different things, and help create them to be productive members of society and help them to once again get clean and sober and get out of that cycle of addiction that caused them to be in prison in the first place.
These are repeat, then, drug offenders?
These are repeat drug offenders because drug court deals with the non-repeat offenders. And the interesting thing is Arizona law absolutely requires probation for first and second time drug possessors and drug users. So they are in drug court. But these are people who, by virtue of their past criminal history, would be going to prison. And several of them have served sentences in prison previously.
And what's your success rate been so far with this repeat drug offender program?
Well, the program has been in effect now for almost 4 years, mm-hmm. and we are finding that we are having a great deal of success in terms of costing the taxpayer less than half the average cost of imprisonment, and our participants are twice as successful in staying drug and crime free as those who come out of prison after serving traditional sentences. Overall, normally, the recidivism rate can be as high as 67%, and we are experiencing significantly less than that.
Coming up on 12:41, we have Barbara LaWall with us on the Buckmaster Show live line. Charles has called us. I believe it's a well-known Sunday talk show host, Charles Heller, here on KVOI. Hello, Charles.
Hi, and hi, Bill, and hi, Ms. LaWall. Thank you for being willing to take questions and be out there in the public and answer. Arizona has no statutes as far as the disparity of force. Disparity of force.
Force.
In other words, if a much larger opponent strikes or attacks a much smaller person, they cannot use deadly force against that person, even though they're at a grave disadvantage. Now, if they're disabled, they can. There's a diminished capacity in aggravated assault under 13-1204. But other than that, if two large people attack one smaller one, they can't shoot them. And do you think that we ought to have something in Arizona law? And I realize you work at the county level, but as a county prosecutor, you have great input into what the legislature does. Do you think it would be of benefit to have a disparity of force statute in Arizona that would allow a weaker person not to be victimized by, say, two larger ones?
Okay.
That is a question that involves a lot of complex issues, but I got to tell you that Arizona law does permit the use of deadly force when your life or somebody else's life is being threatened or when deadly force is being used against you. And I don't think it doesn't matter what the size of the person is. I don't know of states that have that disparity of force. I've never heard of that before. I'm sure that there might be, and I would be willing to look into it. That might be the kind of thing where you could get a jury instruction where a judge could instruct a jury that they can take into consideration the difference in physique. But where do you make that distinction? How do you determine who's larger versus smaller? I mean, those are things that jurors can take into consideration in terms of deciding a self-defense defense.
Okay. Are too many, speaking of juries, are we sending, well, we talked a little bit about the number of prisoners that we have, but are we not doing as many of the plea bargains as we should be, or is it about right, do you think, Barbara LaWall?
Well, I have this philosophical issue with plea bargaining.
Okay.
I think it's something that is required only because we have so many cases coming into the system that we couldn't possibly try everyone. Nobody is entitled by the Constitution to a plea bargain. What they're entitled to, of course, is a fair trial and a trial by a jury of their peers. And for expediency's sake, the system would get totally bollocked up if we abolished plea bargaining. So we have seen a decline in the number of trials in Pima County by a little bit, and a rise, of course, concomitantly, in the number of plea bargains. You can argue it either way. You can say that we need to try more cases, or you can say that we need to plea bargain more, depending upon your philosophical bias. For myself, what I'm looking at is, are we targeting the right people? That's the most important thing. Are we targeting the serious violent offenders, the consistently repetitive offenders? Are we targeting those people for trial so that we get the maximum sentence that we can to help keep this community as safe as possible? Because that's my main goal, is to do justice and to provide public safety for this community. That's the most important thing.
Philosophically, though, you are not a big fan of plea bargaining.
No, I'm not. You know, the word bargain is in there, and what happens is that people get a bargain. There's quite a number of people who probably, most of our plea bargains, I'm going to back up a little bit, most of our plea bargains involve probationary sentences. And so people are going to probation regardless of whether they went to trial or whether they plea bargained. So in some ways, what you want to do is you want to make sure that they're on probation for a sufficient period of time so that they can be supervised and monitored by their probation officers.
We're going to take our break right here. Barbara LaWall has graciously accepted our invitation to stick around for a second segment. It'll be our final segment of the hour. First, we're going to hear from the Buckmaster Show sponsors. Then we'll be right back. 790-2040 if you'd like to ask Barbara a question or make a comment. Be right back.
Hello?
Hey, honey. Just packing and getting ready for my flight home.
Great! You didn't forget about Adam's soccer game, did you?
Hey, it's his last game of the season. I wouldn't miss it for the world.
But you land at 4. How can you be there by 5?
No problem. I'm flying into Tucson. I parked right by the terminal, and the soccer field is only 10 minutes from the airport.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Attending Pima Community College means success for you and your family at less than a quarter the cost of trade schools or four-year universities. Partnering with business leaders, Pima creates programs tailored to help you succeed in today's high-demand jobs and offers two-year associate degrees that transfer to universities nationwide. Whether your goal is a new career or transferring to a four-year college, Pima Community College can help you succeed. Call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting the stories missed by the mainstream media. Our sources bring you regional, national, and international news from a different perspective. Opinion from Emil Franzi, Phil Richardson, and other top national columnists. Plus, Eric Peters with auto reviews, Bob Garber on movies, Rebecca Guthrie on books, a section on Western heritage, and sports coverage, too. It's a cross-section of information found nowhere else. SOAZNewsX.com. Published Mondays and Thursdays. Subscriptions are free at SOAZNewsX.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority has completed more than 650 projects to date, including pedestrian safety crossings, intersection safety improvements, and bus pullouts, plus new sidewalks and bike lanes. The Regional Transportation Authority also funds new signal technology to keep people and goods moving. We're improving safety and regional mobility for you. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. Learn more at rtamobility.com.
Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary works to end the senseless abuse of horses and burros so these noble creatures can live free of pain and suffering. Its ranch in Amato is home to dozens of rescued equines who receive special care as they await new, loving homes. Won't you help? Visit equinevoices.org. Equine Voices, a voice for all equines who cannot speak for themselves.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antique, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. This portion presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, just 3 hours east of Tucson, where there is a big, big deal going on over there. It's kind of their signature event, one of the big ones of the year, certainly the summer. Everything to do with pottery. It's called Silver City's Clay Festival. And that will be getting underway toward the end of this week. It's just 3 hours east of Tucson to Silver City, and there are a lot of great places to stay in the area, like Georgetown Cabins and Pinos Altos Cabins. So check it out, Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, at southwestnewmexico.org, their fine website. Pima County Attorney Barbara LaWall is with us on the Buckmaster Show live line. Want to go back and ask Ms. LaWall about this legal fight that has developed over public records fees. And I believe, Barbara, that Arizona law allows anyone to obtain public records, but the cost of obtaining those records apparently is in question. Is that correct?
That is correct. In a very specific case, okay, normally people are not charged at all for their records, not unless there's a very small cost of producing them, and we give them free in this office. But the issue that we've got that we're litigating right now has to do with a company that is using the data that they requested, which we gave to them. We had to put it together and we gave it to them, so we didn't want that to be the issue. But what we're going after is that they're using this data and selling it to their clients.
Mm.
And so we're claiming it's for a commercial purpose, and there's a provision in the law that allows a specific charge if somebody is using the public records for a commercial purpose. So our litigation has to do with, and the issue is whether or not this particular company is entitled to free public records or whether or not they have to pay the commercial rate. It's very narrow.
So they get the records, in effect, free, and then they wanted to sell some of the records.
And they're selling it to defense attorneys. They're doing some analysis of, I'm assuming they're doing some analysis. It's a huge, it was a huge, huge request for data dating back years and years for lists of defendants and crimes and sentences, and it was very, very comprehensive. And we are claiming that because they're in the business of then promoting it on their website and selling it to criminal defense attorneys, that they need to be charged the commercial rate.
Okay. Let's go back to the live line. One of our listeners, Dan, would like to make a question or comment to Barbara LaWall. Hello, Dan.
Hi. Thank you for your show.
Thank you.
I don't have connections in Tucson with lawyers, but our company lawyer in Ohio recently was talking about this plea bargaining down, and so on. Earlier on the show, the Democrat was saying that most of the people that are in jail shouldn't be there because they're just there for drug offenses. Our lawyer up in Ohio says that most of the people there that show on their record that they're in jail for drug uses have really been pre-bargained down from a serious felony. And as you were saying, just to save money, they plead guilty to a drug offense and take a couple of years, and yet they're really serious criminals. Is that happening in Tucson?
Okay, thank you, Dan.
Dan, I think that probably happens to some extent all over the state. So let me direct everybody's attention to the Arizona Department of Corrections. On their website, they give all kinds of information on commitment offenses, the numbers of U.S. citizens versus criminal aliens who commit various offenses, and then the percentages, et cetera. So out of the 42,600 inmates who are committed to the Department of Corrections in Arizona, 3,100 of them are there for drug possession. 4,100 are there for drug sales and trafficking. Oftentimes, and I can't speak to other counties, I can speak to my county. The practice is if somebody is arrested for drug sales or trafficking, oftentimes they'll be given an opportunity to plead to drug possession. What we don't, and that is the drug possession defendants make up 7.5% of the total population of people in prison, and I would venture to, you know, bet you that almost every single one of them, at least all of them from Pima County, pled down from something more serious. What you don't have is people in prison for drug possession who are low-level drug possessors, people who use drugs or people who are in possession of small amounts. Those are not prison offenses. And as I said before, in Arizona, it is mandated by law that if you possess or use drugs and you are arrested and convicted, you are not sentenced to prison until your third conviction. Twice you must be sentenced to probation. Twice. That's the Arizona law. So it's a mistaken contention that we lock up a multitude of people who do not belong behind bars. It's a myth that people are unfairly prosecuted for first-time drug possession and that these are individuals who pose no real threat to us. It's a completely fabricated myth, and it must be dispelled firmly. It keeps getting repeated, and it gets repeated as if it were fact that prison inmates are nonviolent drug felony possessors. This is a flat-out untruth.
So you're talking about a three strikes, in effect, and you're out here in Arizona.
Well, you have to have three strikes before you're sentenced to prison on a drug possession charge. And if people want to look at the Arizona Department, this is right on their website, the inmate commitment offenses, and it goes by month, and you can just look up. The most recent one is the compilation of June 2015.
All right.
So here's the thing. Yeah. So who is in the Department of Corrections? Who are we locking up? And it's just is who you'd expect, Bill. It's the rapists, armed robbers, murderers, child molesters, gangbangers, drive-by shooters, repeat career burglars. There are a significant portion of them. The vast majority of everyone behind bars in Arizona are violent or repeat offenders, or both, violent and repeat. I just have to keep repeating it.
All right. I've only got about a minute left, and it's not. I wanted to have more time for this about private prisons. The state has 10 prisons. Six are private contract facilities. How do you feel about that?
It's the wrong thing to do. Private prisons is absolutely wrong. Imprisoning individuals is a government function that belongs in the public sector, not in the private sector. It does not belong in the hands of people whose bottom line is the profit motive.
And it's become such a big part of the industry, right?
It is, and I just don't understand why we keep supporting it. It's just incomprehensible to me. People in the profit motive are not going to be doing some of the things that need to be done in terms of rehabilitation services and work programs and treatment programs and hospital programs and ongoing mental health services, because they're looking to the bottom line.
So Governor Ducey saying he won't scrap plans for new private prisons, I assume after what you just said, you strongly disagree with that.
Very much so.
All right, Barbara LaWall, where can people find out more information? You want to direct us to the to your website, the Pima
sure.
County Attorney's Office?
Absolutely. You can find out about the drug treatment alternative to prison program on my website. But another website that I would refer people to is ArizonaSentencing.org, which has several different reports written by a former employee of the Department of Corrections who's a research analyst who has absolutely done in-depth statistical profile of the Arizona prison population over the years from 2010 to just last year.
Hmm. Okay, very good information. Thank you very much, Barbara, for spending part of your time with us during your lunch hour. I appreciate it very much.
You're welcome, Bill.
Okay, thanks a lot. Barbara LaWall, Pima County Attorney, with us on The Buckmaster Show. Well, coming up this afternoon for Tucson at 4, another one of our fine local talk shows that's hosted by Mike Shaw. Then we do 3 hours of local talk here, beginning at 6 with Wake Up Tucson, Chris and Joe, and the Daily Double with Christy Simone from 8 to 9. And then I'll be back with you at 12:04 for another hour, our Tuesday edition of the Buckmaster Show. Ed Alexander will be with me, and Ed and I will welcome you at that time. Until then, have a great afternoon and evening.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cordero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.